The Gemara tells us in the Masechet Shabbos two important halachas regarding Zman Hadlocha. One is the Tchilas Zman, one is the Sofa Zman. So the Gemara tells us that the Tchilas Zman is B'Shetishach HaChama. So the simple reading of that, those words are when the sun sets. That's how the Rambam understood it, that's how the Gro understood it, that the earliest time to light the Neiris is at Shkia. So there are a whole another different shot in Rishonim based on Shittas Rabbeinu Tam about different Shkias, Shkia Rishonim, Shkia Shniyah, and Tzitzkia Chomim. It comes out according to other Rishonim that the Zman of Hadlocha is significantly later than that. So Yesh V'Yesh, so there are those who follow the view of waiting until Tzitzkia Chomim not to light, and there are those who follow the view of the Vivon HaGaon and the Rambam that they light literally at Shkia. Mikra Din, one would be Yetzeh, even a little bit earlier, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that if a person has to light even a plaga mincha, it would be okay. The same way you could have Meir of Mikra and then a plaga mincha, make Kiddush plaga mincha, so you could light the menorah with plaga mincha as well. The only thing is, the Shulchan Aruch writes that if you're lighting the menorah early, so you have to put in enough oil that's going to last a half hour, well, we didn't get to the number half hour yet, whatever that number half hour is, past the Zman, depending on what you think the Zman is. If you think the Zman is Shkia, then it's got to go half hour after Shkia. If you think the Zman is Tais, then it has to go past Tais. So Yesh V'Yesh. So the although the Gemara speaks about a Sof Zman, the Gemara takes the Sof Zman very, very seriously, to the extent that at least one day in the Gemara is that if you light the menorah past the Sof Zman, you're not even Yotze. You can't keep a bracha on that halacha. When is the Sof Zman? So the Gemara says it's Ashaticha Regem and Ashuk. Then when people are still walking around in the street, so that's still considered to be within the Zman halacha. Once you reach the point of after Ashaticha Regem and Ashuk, so then you can't light anymore. So the Rambam writes that that amount of time is Kechatz Yishok, approximately half hour or so, which corresponds to, well, it's still a little bit light out. So even though the according to the Rambam, so you're lighting a Shkia, it's a little bit light, so people are still walking around the streets a little bit. After a half hour, after Shkia is ready, pitch black outside, there are no electric lights, so then no one's walking the streets anymore, so that's ready too late to light. So although we did in the Gemara, the din is that after that Zman, so you can't light anymore, or at least the Sofek, and you can't make a bracha anymore. Nevertheless, Tosis writes in Masechet Shabbos that din probably doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh, for those who light for the B'nai HaBayis. We mentioned last week, in the time of the Gemara, they used to light primarily outside. The only people who lit indoors were Mishas Sakona, when it was not shy to light outdoors, so then there was a special kul you could light indoors. Bezman Hazeh, Tosis writes, it's all we always light indoors, because we live in Goyim, we live in Chutzlars, the Goyim are going to take our menorahs, they're going to qualify the bomb, all kind of problems. So therefore, our minigas we light indoors, so the Pursuma Nisa has changed radically. So for us, the Pursuma Nisa is more geared indoors rather than outdoors. So says Tosis, what do I care about Tichlu Rebun Shukh anymore? Is it relevant to me? I'm not even lighting for the people. So I'm living on the 10th floor, I don't even light by a window, I'm not even lighting my table. So machpati, what's going on outside? So that's how we follow the halacha. We follow that view that mikra didn't really light much later bizman hazeh. Some still machpat luchatchila, some are machpat to try to follow what it says in the Gemara to light in the early part. But mikra didn't, one could light later bizman hazeh. How late is late? So the Shabur writes that since we've substituted the Bnei Abayis for the Bnei Rishis Rabim, so therefore as long as they're just as Bismana Gemara, as long as there are still Bnei Abayis or Bnei Rishis Rabim around, you can light with the bracha. So to Bismana Zeh, as long as there are some Bnei Abayis that are still up, you can light with the bracha. So everyone's sleeping, you come home 3 o'clock in the morning and you're lighting and nobody's there. So the Shabur says he doesn't know if you can make a bracha then because there's no possibility of Bichlal. So you would have to wake somebody up. Hope that they're not going to be too upset at you for waking them up. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes that Shibi doesn't understand the Mishnah Berurah. He says, let's say a guy lives by himself. A guy lives in an apartment on the 45th floor. There's no Pesuma Nisa. He doesn't like the menorah. So no Shibana doesn't make him. So Pesuma Nisa is nice and nice and nice, but if he can't do it, so he still light the menorah. So Rabbi Moshe says he doesn't understand why you have to wake somebody up. He thinks that as long as you're lighting for yourself, that's also good enough. It's a suffix waking up. You just have to hope that the person who you wake up holds like the Mishnah Berurah. That's the whole promotion. That's the problem. Okay. Once a person lights the menorah, so if the menorah subsequently goes out, so one doesn't really have to light it again. It's not like thinking more about that. And we pass in that kipsa ain't zochu as well. We pass in that once it's lit, so then you might say the mitzvah even if it goes out. Unless you lit it in such a place where it wasn't shaykh to light. Let's say I put it in a place where it's very, very windy. It's getting for sure going to go out in a second, so that's no good. But if you lit it in a normal place and then somebody knocked into it or something, a crazy thing happened that it blew out, so then mikra din, you don't have to relight it. I mean, I guess we light it anyway, but one's not really mechuyev to relight it. Sometimes you have two nights of Hanukkah at least where you have a funny zman in terms of that halacha, both Friday and Motzei Shabbos. So Friday afternoon, obviously, you're not going to light the menorah after the zman. You're not going to light it after Shkia or after Tzeis. That's called Chilul Shabbos. So obviously you have to light the menorah maybe Eld Yom. So the Rizim Achleik is in Rishonim, when you light the menorah maybe Eld Yom on Friday, so do you light Shabbos candles first or not? So the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos that if you don't have enough money for Shabbos candles and Chanukah candles, so you buy Shabbos candles rather than Chanukah candles because near Shabbos is Adif because of Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis is more important than Pesumim Nisan. So the Ramban says that just as if you don't have enough money, so Shabbos candles takes precedence over Chanukah candles, so too in terms of the Seidat Dvarim, Shabbos candles should come first. So the Ramban says, first of all, Shabbos candles are Tadim. So Tadim should have Tadim Kodim. And second of all, Makudash, the Gemara says in Zvachim, there's another cloud called Kol Makudash Bechavera Kodim is Chavera. When you have two mitzvahs to do and one is a higher level than the other, so the higher level mitzvah comes first. The Gemara has a Suffolk in Zvachim, what if you have a steer between the two? I have mitzvah A and mitzvah B. One is Tadim, one is Makudash. What do you do first? But if you have Mitzvah A has both Tadr and Makudash, so not even a question. Of course, the Tadr Makudash Mitzvah comes first. So the Ramban argues that Neir Shabbos is both Makudash because it has the element of Shalom Bayis. It's not really Makudash, but that's Chashivos. Makudash is a way of measuring, it's a barometer of measuring Chashivos. And Tadir, you light more Shabbos of the year than around nights of Hanukkah. So the Ramban says, according to all reasons, you should light the Shabbos candles first. So the Rishonim quote from the Bahag, the Ramban himself quotes the Bahag and disagrees. The Bahag said, no, Baruch said, that you have to light the Hanukkah candles first, because if you light the Shabbos candles first, that constitutes a Kabbalah Shabbos. And once you become a Shabbos, you can't light the Hanukkah candles afterwards. So the Ramban said, he never heard of such a thing. He said, why is lighting Shabbos candles a Kabbalah Shabbos? He says, would you say vacuuming the living room is called a Kabbalah Shabbos? Would you say putting up the crock pot is a Kabbalah Shabbos? He says, lighting Shabbos candles is part of the Achodes for Shabbos. The Mechatesh is a Kabbalah Shabbos. So the Ramban says, forget about Shabbos Hanukkah. The other 51 weeks of the year, who says lighting candles is considered to be a Kabbalah? So we have a little bit of a split psak in this area. That do we follow the Ramban that lighting Shabbos candles is not a Kabbalah? Do we follow the Bahag that it is a Kabbalah? So the Minhag Yisrael is a split between men and women. That it's understood that when women light Shabbos candles, so they have in mind to be Makabel Shabbos. Whereas when men light Shabbos candles, so they're still learning the Mincha, they still get into the Kodesh Rav Shul. So men, we don't consider that to be a Kabbalah Shabbos. So when it comes to lighting Chanukah candles and Shabbos candles, l'chor we should follow the Ramban. Well, what are we running to follow the Bahag for? I'm lighting the Chanukah candles and my wife is lighting the Shabbos candles. So why shouldn't she light the Shabbos candles first? So let her light the Shabbos candles. So she's not lighting Chanukah candles anyway. She's being Yaitzi with me. So why shouldn't she light the Shabbos candles first and I light the Chanukah candles? So the Minhag Yisrael is not that way. The Minhag Yisrael has become for Deiri Deiris that even though it's two different people, the Minhag Yisrael is that we always light the Chanukah candles before we light the Shabbos candles. No one's quite exactly sure why that is true, but that's Kachna of Yisrael in deference to that view of the Bahag. So even though we don't really follow the Bahag Shita, but on Shabbos Chanukah somehow the Bahag became the prominent Shita. What about a Motzei Shabbos? A Motzei Shabbos, after the Shabbos is over, before you can light the menorah. So now the question becomes, I have multiple mitzvahs to do on Motzei Shabbos. I have to light the menorah and I have to make Avdalah. So what should come first? So you have to start the pilpul. Tadav Shita, Tadav Kodeh, maybe Chanukah is more important. Back and forth. So it's fine. The Shabbat throws his hands up and says, "The other Kamara, the other Kamara, whatever, whichever way you want to do, you do." I think the more proud of it, I think most places make a vote first. I think that's the more popular minute. But the Shabbat throws his hands up and says, either way would be acceptable. The only thing is, in Shul, the minute is the other way around. In Shul, everybody lights the Chanukah candles first, then say Shabbos, because we want to maximize Pesumim Nisan, number one, so more people are around as you get past the Gita, the Chol, most people leave already, so you want to make sure people see the Chanukah candles. And also, as a public demonstration of Shabbos, we want to push it off as much as we can. We might see the Chol Kodesh a little bit, so we'll keep on, we don't want to make a formal declaration Shabbos is over until we absolutely have to. So for whatever reason is, that the Minhag Yisrael is that then Shul, the Chanukah candles come first, and at home, it's Yesh V'Yesh. We speak about the mitzvah of Neris Chanukah, so we have to figure out who exactly is chayv in this mitzvah. So the Gemara tells us that obviously men are chayv in the mitzvah, and women are chayv in the mitzvah as well. Even though Chanukah is a mitzvah shel zman grama, women are still chayv in the mitzvah. She'af hein ha'bios v'neis. It's for this reason that a woman can light on behalf of the Bnei Abayis. Normally the Gemara says the rule is that only somebody who's chayv in the mitzvah of Neris Chanukah can light the menorah. So the Gemara says, in that context, let's say if a katan lights the menorah on behalf of you, you wouldn't be yotzei. But if your wife lights the menorah on your behalf, you would be yotzei. Why? Because afen abir nes, because women are included in the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah, the same as men. So men are chayav, women are chayav. So how exactly does that play out in terms of our hadlokah? How do we go about lemaisa lighting Neres Chanukah? So the Gemara is the famous Brais and Daf Chafal from Masechah Shabbos. The Gemara gives us the three different levels of the Chiv of Neres Chanukah. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah, Ner Isha Beisai. That if you have your house, you have the man and his wife and his children, everybody all together, 20 people in the family, so they could all be Yaitzeh the Mitzvah with one candle. That's one candle. The first time we killed, the second time we killed, the third time, that's the Ikar Mitzvah. The Yaitzeh the Mitzvah, the Rabbanan, Neres Chanukah, and Shor, and Ner Isha Beisai. Then the Gemara says, if you want to do it a little bit nicer than that, Mahadrin, so then you should try to have a Ner Lechol Echad V'yachad. You should try to have a candle for each person. Each person in the family. Then if you want to do really, really super duper duper, then you go per night. You add on candles per night. B'Shabbos says you subtract candles every night. We follow B'Shabbos for a variety of reasons. They add candles. That's the Mahadim and Mahadim. That's the best way to fulfill the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah. So there was a big machlekes, Taisus and the Rambam, about what exactly Chazal meant when they describe what the ultimate way of doing it. What exactly does Mahadim and Mahadim mean? Is Mahadim and Mahadim going back on the original din of Neri Shabeso, or is it going on the second level of Neri Chalecha V'yechad? So Tosfos writes that it's going back on the original statement. So there were three dargas. The Ikra din is one candle per night for everybody in the family. The next best thing is one candle per night for every member of the family. And then the next best thing is one menorah for the entire family, going up every single night, different numbers of candles. What Tosfos says you should not do is, you shouldn't have every member of the family lighting candles per that night. So that's going to be wrong, says Tosfos, because you have six people in the family, so you're going to have the first night you're going to light six candles, and the next night you're going to light 12 candles, the next night you're going to light 18 candles. So Tosfos says that's a mistake. That you're not supposed to do. Why? Tosfos says because that's going to defeat the whole purpose of Mahadran Mahadran. The whole goal of Mahadran Mahadran was to be Mepharsim that how the Nes increased every night. Today's the fourth night. It's not the third night. It's not the second night. Every night we're having more and more. The Shem is going more and more. So we try to highlight that. So says Tosfos, if you have 18 candles sitting in the windowsill, how would anyone in the world know what night of Hanukkah it is? Maybe it's the sixth night of Hanukkah and there are three people in the family. Maybe it's the third night of Hanukkah and there are six people in the family. Maybe it's the 19 is, when I say 18, that's a bad number. We'll 16, it'll make it easier. Maybe it's the 8th night of Hanukkah, the 2 people. Maybe it's the 2nd night of Hanukkah, the 8 people. Maybe it's the 4th night of Hanukkah, the 4 people. You have all your fractions from 3rd grade. It can be any one of those possible permutations. So Tosfos says that's going to defeat the whole purpose. Tosfos says if you want to do things in the best grandiose way of doing it is you have one set of candles that might see everybody, but you go up every single night per night of Hanukkah. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, no, I'm not so worried about that. The Rambam says that Mahadran Mahadran means that you build on the Mahadran. So everybody for sure is lighting, and then not only is everybody lighting, but everybody's lighting per the night of Hanukkah. So if you have 8 people in the family, and it's the 8th night of Hanukkah, so you have 64 candles sitting on the windowsill, according to the Rambam. How is anyone going to tell the difference, what night it is? So either the Rambam didn't care about that, or you keep the candles separate from one another, you figure out nights. Or today we light menorahs. Menorahs, you don't need a PhD to figure out how many nights it is. Take a look and see how many menorahs there are. So whatever the solution to that technical problem is, the Rambam doesn't seem to be too overwhelmed with that problem. So how do we paskin halacha? Do we follow Tosfos Ma'amar and Hanan? Do we follow the Rambams? So this was a machlokes between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. So this is one of the strange flukes that we do not know the answer to this. But 99.99% of the time, Ashkenazim followed the Shitas Tosfos and the Sfaradim followed the Shitas Rambam. And this is a flip. That here the Sfaradi practice is to follow the Shitas Tosfos, that Sfaradim have one menorah for the entire family, and the Ashkenazim follow Shitas HaRambam. So this is not my observation. This is strange. The Taz, on the spot, Hilchos Chanukah writes that this is a Dovara Tema, that we find that the Sfaradim go like Tosfos and the Ashkenazim follow the Rambam. This breaks the regular party lines. Taz is not sure why. I don't know. Some strange phenomenon developed for some strange reason why it ended up that way, but that's the way it is. So by the time it ends up in Shulchan Aruch, so the Ramah presents the Ashkenazi practice. But even within the Shitas HaRambam, which is the Ashkenazi practice, there are actually two different versions of that practice. So if you look in the Rambam himself, the Rambam doesn't do exactly what we do. The Rambam describes that if you have eight people in the family, it's 8 night of Hanukkah, so you have 64 candles there, and they're all lit by the balabas. So everyone else is sitting on the sidelines, and then the one balabas is spending 3 hours lighting all 64 candles. That's how the Rambam's sheet is. So when there are more quotes, the sheet is a Rambam, he adds on the Ashkenazi-sized version of the Rambam. So we're not exactly the Rambam. We have the same number of candles like the Rambam, but we do it a little bit differently than the Rambam. We have each person lighting the menorah, so that the Rambam doesn't say. So what we do, the standard Ashkenazi practice that we all grew up with is that you have five people in the family, everyone lights the menorah, so that doesn't appear in neither Taisa or the Rambam. Zicha does another way, and the Rambam also does another way. That's the Rambam's version. So what's going on? Why did the Rambam, in a sense, change what the way the Rambam's presentation was? So it's a famous word that started with the Beis Halevi and the Brisk HaRav. This is a famous word in the world of Ibrisk, that basically there's a fundamental machlokes between what's the relationship between Hidah Mitzvah and the Ikra Mitzvah. There's a Lomdish Chakira that the Beis Halevi talks about and the Brisk HaRav elaborates upon, about how do you understand the relationship between the two. Do you say that there's the Ikra Mitzvah, like in all areas, not do Hanukkah, I do the Ikra Mitzvah, and then there's a separate Kiyum called Zekenim Aveim, there's a new Kiyum of Hidah Mitzvah. Hidah Mitzvah does not relate to the Mitzvah proper. I do the Mitzvah, and then the Yadish Lamed did the Hidah Mitzvah, the two separate Kiyumim. What do I say? No, there's no independent Mitzvah called Hidah Mitzvah. It's not a Mitzvah in the Torah, Zekenim Aveim. Zekenim Aveim is a way to enhance the Mitzvah. It's a greater Kiyum in the Mitzvah itself. Let's say you have two guys putting on tefillin, one guy's putting on a beautiful tefillin, one guy's putting on a shvach up your tefillin. So do you say that they both were Yadish, the bits of tefillin identical, except one guy fulfills Zekenim Aveim, the other didn't? Or do I say no, that the fellow who performed film with the nicest film is a greater kibbutz, it's a more mahudidika mitzvah of anachas film itself? So in the world of Brisk, they basically say as follows, that if you hold that Hidu mitzvah is linked to the mitzvah, because it's a kibbutz in the mitzvah itself, how can you split between the two? How's it shaykh to have one guy doing the ikra mitzvah and somebody else doing the Hidu mitzvah? Once Ner Isha Besa, once the father lights his menorah, so the game's over. Everyone's yotzi ready. So what shaykh that somebody else is going to do Hidu? How can you split the Hidu from the ikra mitzvah? So that's what the Rambam said, that it only makes sense that the Bala Abayis, the original Madlik of the first candles, continues on the Hidu. So that makes sense. But you have a Hidu that's enhancing the mitzvah, it has to go hand in hand by the same person. Masha'ein Kain, Amirik, like the Rambam, is not that Hidu mitzvah stands on its own 2 feet, that he does the Ikra mitzvah, and then I do the Hidu mitzvah, and there's not a steer, it's not a contradiction between the two. You can have a separate, independent Hidu mitzvah. So there's a Lomdish Shaila with Prismidos, with Tzitzit, Maislach, whole stories that appear in Beis Halevi, in Brisk HaRav, in Duchas Chanukah, all about this fundamental machlokes between Taiz and Rambam. But the bottom line is, that's what Aminik is that we end up one guy does the halacha, and then everybody else does their own thing afterwards. Rabbi Kivager has a Shaila, he doesn't understand how you can make a bracha exactly. How can you make a bracha on Hidu mitzvah? I was ready yet to say, so then, what you have to make a bracha? So maybe you see you can make a bracha in the mitzvah. Maybe that's a conclusion that you could draw. Or maybe Kivega throws out the possibility. Maybe I'm talking at Yaitzeh. When my father lights and I'm planning on lighting myself, maybe that's like Kavanah Shalom Lotzeis. So it's like I have a built-in Kavanah. I don't want to be Yaitzeh with this Adlocha. So we're not sure that makes any sense. Kavanah Shalom Lotzeis, like by Tekiah Shoif, by Chris and Megillah, those kinds of things. When I'm a Gavra that's Chayiv and you're a Gavra that's Chayiv, I want to be made to you. So you have in mind not to be Yaitzeh here. It could be that the nature of the mitzvah of Chanukah is it's a chayva on the bias. When my father lights the menorah for me, he's not being mitzvah me in halachas haMenorah. It's not like Chris HaMegillah. I'm part of his household, so I'm yaitzeh. So I could scream and yell, I don't want to be yaitzeh, but unless I decide to become financially independent in the next 10 minutes, and I walk out of the house, and I'm no longer part of his bias, I'm yaitzeh whether I like it or not. I'm yaitzeh b'akorchi. I'm yaitzeh because the chiv is mutal on the b'nei bias. I've been from the b'nei bias. So it's not 100% clear, this practice that's so standard in our communities, the father lights and the kids light, and say, no, we have no problems. It's not clear exactly what that's based on. So if he's still part of the B'nai Abayis, so how do you define B'nai Abayis? So smuchen ha'shulchan off, if he's used to look at the B'nai Abayis, so the father's still paying your bills, he's paying your tuition, he's paying for your food, that's still considered to be smuchen ha'shulchan off.
So like even in yeshiva,
Meikra Din, if a person's in yeshiva, so then the father's lighting for them in Dinek, so then Meikra Din, they're Yotze, they're not Yotze the Mahadra unless they light themselves, but they Yotze the Meikra Din, and they're yeshiva. So unless you argue that a guy, once he's a Ben Yeshiva Bachar, so he's left his family, and now he's part of a new family, the new family's called the yeshiva. So it probably, such a svara could be said depending on the makeup of the yeshiva. So I don't think why you would be part of that that model. I said, you're talking about some, you know, some certain yeshivas, a bachar, you know, okay, he leaves his house on Sukkot, he doesn't come back until Chanukah time, you know, he leaves for Chanukah back to Purim. The guy's here for 3-4 months at a time, so he's out of town, you know, whatever. That one could maybe argue. I remember years ago there was. Rabbi Osbench, the Rashivan Tells in Riverdale, so he's Rabbi Willick's neighbor. They live on the same floor. So once they were arguing about this point, about is Yeshiva Bachar considered to still be Samach or Shulchan Aviv, Lagabi these Chiyuvim, Lagabi Nir Shabbos, Chanukah, whatever the different Chiyuvim of Sukkot Shulchan Aviv are? Or do we say, no, there's a new entity called the Yeshiva family, and that's a different Chalashem. He's not really part of his original family. So the Machloikis was not a Machloikis in Din, it was a Machloikis in Metzias. They were talking about two Yeshivas. That in Tells, Tachman Tells in Riverdale, the Bachar come, they don't see the parents till the Yom Kippur. They come back for Sukkot, don't see your parents on Chanukah. So you can see your parents 3-4 times a year. So maybe in Chanukah, maybe you could argue that's you're part of the new yeshiva called Yeshiva Stels. Whereas in YU, the guy's home every 3 times a week. The guy's home, and the other 2 nights a week, his parents come to say hello. It's a joke. That's not a part of the YU family. I mean, it's a YU family. It's a nice thing, but that's not it's not halachically a family. I don't think. Anyway, okay, back to that story. So all the Bnei Abayis are going to light for the Ashkenazim to fulfill this. At least the din of Mahadrim. Who exactly out of the Bnei Abayis is going to do this actual lighting? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a practice that the married women, don't do Havlokas Neres Chanukah. Why? Because Ishta Kagufo. So it's a very hard understanding what those words mean. Ishta Kagufo. The woman doesn't have to eat matzah because Ishta Kagufo. She doesn't have to eat kiddush because it's hard to understand exactly what it means. It's sort of a melitza. That means that when it comes to Mahadrin, so the husband and wife are one unit, one entity together. So the wife doesn't do independent Hidurim. It means the husband's Hidur. There is chal for the woman, for the wife also. It's all the same basic here. There's nothing to be gained by the wife doing an extra hidur. That's what the Mishnah Berurah seems to present there. Not everyone agrees. Some communities have the practice that the married women do light, but many people follow the meaning of the Mishnah Berurah. There was a further question about whether the single girl should light. So if you just read the Gemara, it sounds like, yeah, like the father of the Benavayas, so the Benosavayas, so why, if women are chayavos, why shouldn't the single girls light? So there was a minig in many places in Europe that the single girls didn't light. So the Chassam Sofer writes that he thinks that the reason for that minig was because the original hadlocha was bachutz. That's when they used to gather outside, Masha Pesach Abad, Pesach Chatzos. So he said, what, the girls are going to come outside? The young boys, the teenage boys, they're off for a couple of days, Chanukah breaks, and they're going to come light, and the girls are going to light. He said, you can't have a co-ed lighting. So the Chassam Sofer writes that the minig in David Davis was that the single girls didn't light, that they relied on their father's hadlocha. And even though we are lighting indoors, that reason doesn't really apply anymore, but that's kach nogu aviseinu. So that's what a lot of people have, a lot of communities have that practice. And some don't. Some have a practice that the single girls do light. I always find it humorous because a lot of girls, before the bas mitzvah, they light. Why? Because in school, you know, they're little kids, they're little girls, so, you know, it's a fun thing to do. So to teach them lighting the menorah. So I know my daughters that they lit kol zman, they were, as soon as they turn bas mitzvah, all of a sudden they stop lighting. There's someone, that's the minigun light. I think in the Beis Yaakov, I think they that seems to be what the custom is. That's what I'm told, but I don't know whether it's true or not. So yesh v'yesh. So some do, some don't, but whatever it is, everyone's good. Okay, so back to our story. So everyone is chayav in Neiros Chanukah to some degree. It can be yaitzi with the hadlocha of Bnei Abayis. But the Gemara talks about the unique situation when a person is an achsenoi. Did we talk about achsenoi yet? We didn't talk about it yet. Right? So achsenoi is the most complicated simon in Shulchan Aruch about Neiros Chanukah. It wasn't so complicated until 30 years ago. And there are two simonim in Shulchan Aruch. It's not even simonim. It's two lines in Shulchan Aruch that for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years, nobody paid too much attention to because they really, really happened. And the last 30 years, they became explosions. So one of them was the din of achsenoi. Who in the world, who left the house on Chanukah? You know, who left the house anywhere? Most people were born in the shtetl, they lived in the shtetl, they died in the shtetl. Most people are Amoli, had a guy in business, went on a business trip once every 10 years. But most people stayed home. So there wasn't so much a discussion about the topic. Today, everybody, every night now, for 14,000 shadows, I'm going to sleep in here, I'm eating here, I'm sleeping here, my head's over here, I'm visiting here, where do I light my menorah? The other din is there's a half-baked line at the end of Nuchas Yontif about if you have a guy, crazy, meshuggering guy, he's a ben chutz l'aretz, he happens to find himself in Eretz Yisrael for Yontif. How often did that happen? Once in 100 years? So today, that's the most common. Guys here, I'm coming here, I'm sleeping here, I'm going here, I do live here, I don't live here. Who ever heard of such a cockamamie thing that people had multiple houses, people lived in two different places, people had, I have somebody, someone I know is the craziest thing, but he's keeping one day, his wife's keeping 2 days because he works, he lives in Israel, they're happily married. It's just he has a job in Israel, he's home, he's in Israel more than he sees himself. I'm sure everyone's, if cockamamie situations with man is it. So back to our story. So the Gemara says, Achsenoi chabi neres Chanukah. So Achsenoi, a guest, has to light neres Chanukah. The Gemara says that, how does he light the neres Chanukah? We've mishtat the bepruta. So just he gives a nickel, gives a pruta to the balabas, and he buys a share in his oil, and that's good enough. And then the Gemara says, and if he's married, he has his wife is lighting for him at home, he doesn't even have to do that. So that din of mishtat the bepruta was a big machlokes. Is that a kula or is that the din? Is really, he should really light his own menorah. The Emma says he should get his own menorah, light a menorah in the host's house. But Chazal wanted to make life easier for him to say, it's okay, you don't have to really light, just be mishtat v'pruta, and you can be piggyback on the bais as adlocha. But the Gemara may know that you can't light your own menorah. It's not your house. It's like light in the middle of the street. So you have to piggyback. The only way to be yotzei is piggybacking off the bais as adlocha. So that's a big machlokes, and the Rishonim, but Lamais and the Poskim, the Mishabur was making. The Mishabur doesn't even quote the Cholkim. Mishabur writes as a Dava Poshut that of course you could bring your own menorah, and he says it's nicer to do that. It's so cheapy to be Mishtat Bepruta. It's much nicer, much more muhuda to bring your own menorah. So the Rav was machmir for the other. The Rav thought that the other Rishonim were right, that you're not yotzei with your own menorah. You have to mamish dafkim mishtat beprutta. So in some of the Talmid Rav are machmir that. Most people just follow. They never heard of the Rav, so they never heard of that psach in the Rav. So they just read what says the Mishnah. Mishnah says it's not a better to bring your own menorah. So again, yesh in terms of that. There is a big machlokes in the Rishonim. Let's say a person is a guy goes to the hotel for Shabbos and his wife is home with the kids. He went on a business trip, so he's in Chicago and she's in New York and she's lighting the menorah. So he doesn't have to do anything. He's not chayiv. He's b'tligel b'sach beisa. That's good enough. So the Rishonim have a machlokes. What happened to the brachas of Shos Anisim? Because the Gemara says that if a guy didn't light and he sees a menorah, so he should say Shos Anisim. So is he yotzei that chiyuv of Shos Anisim with his wife's adlocha also? So many Rishonim say yeah. It means that whatever, if you yotzei the mitzvah adlocha, say yotzei, I didn't hear a bracha, I didn't answer amen, it doesn't matter. You yotzei Shos Anisim, the same way you yotzei with our adlocha. And other Rishonim say no. But all the Gemara meant was is that you're yotzei the adlocha, Shos Anisim, so you have to go find him in Eretz somewhere in Chicago and look out the window and then make a bracha, Shos Anisim, like that. So then the Ramon quotes Mordechai, it says, what if you're in a non-Jewish area, there is no menorah around? So you have no choice. You mechuyv in Shos Anisim, so you have to light a menorah. Not because you're chayv in a lochus neres chanukah, you have to light a menorah to enable you to say Shos Anisim. And then the Mordechai says, and guess what? You can make a bracha, shekin yishan mitzvah yisim tzivan. Why? Because I'm mechuyv to light this menorah, l'hadag neres chanukah, to enable myself to be yotzei Shos Anisim. You should change the bracha. Very strange. But that's what the Ramah quotes. So that's what many people do. So the Mishnah Berurah is not so sure that that's the right thing to do. He claims the bracha. There are different opinions about this. So a lot of people do this. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that if you have such a situation that your wife's lighting at home and you are lighting in a place where there's where you want to be able to light for yourself also. So he says the best thing to do is try to time it that you light before your wife lights. So try to coordinate with her beforehand who's lighting first. This doesn't always work. We have times in Radin, where'd the guy go? He went from Radin to Slobodka, from Radin to Telza. How far did he travel? Whereas Bizman is at. He's in Chicago, she's in LA, he's in China, he's crossing the date line, she's in Hawaii, and he's in Alaska. So everyone's in different worlds today. So it's not always so easy to coordinate this. So there are different opinions about this, about how much the Ikarik Radin is. Many Rishonim say, you just forget about just it's everything with your wife, and some say no. Maybe the better thing to do is at least maybe go to somebody else's house and hear their Shos Anisim. Yes, I'm into their Shos Anisim. Or maybe go to shul. Some say and hear Shos Anisim. Shul. There are different opinions about how to maneuver this. Okay, so in terms of I think we pretty much spoke about the most of the Rashi program, not everything, but most of the Rashi program about the adlok itself. And there's another mitzvah in Chanukah. That's to recite Hallel. So you have to recite a full Hallel on Chanukah. There is a question whether the Hallel of Chanukah is like a deraisa to Gahal. Some Seif claims that any Hallel that we say as a Zeichel Anes is considered to elevate it like a deraisa to Gahal. And then Tziv says that means the first Chanukah that happened, the days of the Chashmonoim, that they had to be Meshabech for the Anes that occurred Bishas Anes, that was a deraisa to Gahal. The fact that we recite Hallel every year, that's only a derabon to Gahal. That's what seems to be what the Gemara seems to say, itself as brachos. The Chassam Seif had a little bit of a different reading of that Gemara. But whatever it is, deraisa to Rabban, the bottom line is you have to say a full Hallel. You have to say every single word. People sometimes careless about this halal quickly. So it's like Chris, we don't have to pronounce every word. You have to say every word properly to fulfill this this mitzvah of halal. It seems to be that women are pturos from this halal. That's what the Magen Avraham writes, that women are pturos from halal and Hanukkah, which is a little bit unclear why that should be so. Why don't you say that afen it's the same way we say at Lagabe the Neirus. That's a little bit unclear. What's the manishtan of those two mitzvahs one another? Most women say halal anyway in Hanukkah, and Ashkenazim practices we say Asher Kiddushan, even if the woman is pturah from the mitzvah, but it's not 100% sure why that should be so, that women should actually be pturahs from the Hanukkah. The Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam discussed at the beginning of the Hanukkah about is there any degree of simcha in Hanukkah? Is there any idea of having a suda in Hanukkah? So although the Rambam does describe Hanukkah as you make simcha, the Rambam never says you have to have a suda. The Rambam just says you make simcha him. The Rambam probably got that from the Gemara that says there's a nisav hesper v'tainis. So hesper v'tainis, that seems to be assuming some kind of not just days of mitzvahs, it's some kind of days of simcha and joy as well. But it doesn't really translate to me to do anything. It's kind of like a passive simcha. Don't ruin it by having a spade of v'tainis, but in terms of a real chayv suda, it doesn't really seem to be a chayv suda on the Hanukkah. The Rambam quotes from some Rishonim that is a little bit of a chayv suda, a little mashu to be rabbi besudas, because the days of Chanukah are mizbeach, and there's a mitzvah to make a big simcha when you dedicate the Beis HaMikdash. There's a mitzvah to have. They did it with Zman HaMishkar, and they did it with days of Shlomo Melech, and days of Ezra, whenever they were Mechanech Beis HaMikdash, so they make a big party. So it's like a kain, that idea. We have a little bit of Chanukah mizbeach on Chanukah. You make a little bit of a suda. The Rambam quotes from the Mordechai that since we're not really sure this is any real degree of suda's mitzvah, do it. You should try to turn it into a suda's mitzvah. So you're saying Yevonim, you're saying Alanis, you're saying kind of a Shmirus with Ishbacho. So whenever you praise a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's always considered to be a shtickle mitzvah. So yeah, the Rambam recommends that you should have a little extra Shmirus with Ishbachos at your Chanukah parties to make it to a suda's mitzvah. The Ran quotes a minig, an old minig of eating a cheese on Chanukah. That's a story of Hudis. So that minig made it into the Ramah in Huchas Chanukah as well. The minig of having latkes and jelly donuts somehow didn't make it to the Ramah, didn't make it to Shavur, but we should do whatever they want to do in terms of that. But again, it's not exactly simcha. It's not a full-fledged simcha. There's regular velus is not in Chanukah, but there's some degree of something or other to it that has some of these halachas that emanate from a quasi simcha as well. Okay, we'll stop for now. I think we just said finish up the semester. I think that's it. We're done for now. So hopefully, mitzvah Shem, next semester, I think we'll start with Huchas Sukkos just in time. Okay, so we'll try to do Sukkos afterwards, and then that will by the time we finish Sukkos, and probably lead us right into Purim time and Purim and Pesach. So we'll try to keep on schedule some shape or form. Okay.